Uncertainty drove South Dakota into instability at the beginning of 2024, but federal intervention helped steady the ship. Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Devin Schaefer is a research fellow at the Dakota Institute. That's a group of economists committed to providing economic research and analysis to the state and to the region. I talked with him about volatility and the surprising diversity of the state's economy.
We're talking about it in late 2025, but the article is about early 2025. So welcome to economic analysis when there's always a lag.
What's actionable in the data then?
Yeah, so usually we'll look for trends. I mean, really that's going to be the most helpful thing. If we start to see, you know, the last two quarters, the last three quarters, and then obviously you have, you know, yearly trends. But the term I always kind of like to go to is mean reversion. If we'll go back to what the average has been long term, there's other models that can predict, you know, to the best of our ability, what's going to happen in the future. So we might have monthly data and can kind of try to figure out what the quarterly number is going to be. But it's, you know, an art just as much as it is a science.
Yeah. So when we look at the economic landscape, what are some of the key things, the key questions? What are the research questions? What are you trying to pull together? And then we'll talk about some of the findings.
Yeah. So this was an interesting article. So, you know, before we write the two articles for the year, we'll all of us, the research fellows for the Dakota Institute, we'll get together. And there's a big whiteboard, and we're going to say, okay, what are the topics we think we should talk about? It's a group full of economists, so you can imagine how fun the conversations are. Mm-hmm. We think it's a great time. No one else probably would want to be in the room too long. So we all get assigned, you know, specific categories, what we want to talk about, whether it's population movements, which is a great article about that in this outlook, whether it's property taxes. Usually I'll focus on more of the, you know, labor market or kind of big macro themes just because that's my main interest. So we'll go through that. We put the ideas on the whiteboard. And when I was originally writing this piece, the GDP for South Dakota and our neighboring states was down. So it was actually 3.1% on annualized basis for Q1. And so I said, well, that's perfect. We'll write about why our GDP as a state was negative, and that was going to be the whole piece. And then I think it would be September, we get Q2 GDP data for the state of South Dakota, because there's a little bit of a lag, because you'll get the actual U.S. GDP earlier than that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, we'll see. Hopefully that'll just continue the trend, and we'll just really write that for the article. And it was a very sharp reversal. So we saw a good boost, which is a good thing. You know, no one's disappointed to see a surge in economic growth for the state. But that really just kind of showed the shift of the article.
Yeah.
To really the dichotomy of how quick things can snap back in the Midwest. I like to think that we're pretty isolated, or people usually think we are, as kind of a rural community. But really, the big macroeconomic forces still impact the state. I mean, whether it's trade negotiations or interest rate decisions, those still do impact us quite a bit. And you can see that here in this article.
So how sharp was the contraction? We'll talk about Q1 first. What we were noticing, how significant was it, and how did it compare to what was happening in other states?
Yep. So it was a 3.1% on an annualized basis. So really what we, you know, when we say annualize, really if you're just taking that quarterly growth rate and assuming that it lasted for an entire year, kind of where you'd end up at. So if it was a 2% drop that quarter, went throughout the entire year, you're at 8%. Basically, it's kind of the standard example. So all the states in the Midwest, so Iowa, Minnesota, North Dakota, Nebraska, and then South Dakota, all saw that contraction. So like I said, we were 3.1% on annualized basis. And then there was a strong recovery into Q2.
So do I understand this correctly that it wasn't a full 3% contraction in the first quarter, but it would have been if it had kept going for the full quarter?
Correct.
Or for the full year?
Yep, exactly. Okay. Correct.
Okay.
Yep. So we usually put stuff on annualized basis just because it gets people a better feel of how big of a move that actually is.
Sure.
If it were to continue.
Sure. So what were some of the things that you were seeing, the reasons for that contraction were?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. So really the two kind of big ones that we saw was ag. It was a big kind of contractor for that for the Q1. Kind of wholesale and retail too was another big one there. And then finance and insurance were all kind of pulling back. And really, if I was going to summarize those pullbacks, I think uncertainty is probably a pretty good word to explain why we saw all three of those pull back.
Uncertainty in the policy landscape, uncertainty in the economy, like nobody. So we're going back to January 2025. There's a new president. There's, you know, political transitions or unrelated to something else.
No, yeah. I think that's exactly okay. Right. Yeah. I think you have a monetary environment where everyone's trying to figure out what the Federal Reserve is going to do next, especially early on in 2025, where interest rates will go at the end of the year. You have trade policies going on. I'm trying to figure out tariffs and how this will impact the overall economy, what trade deals will get kind of taking place.
Yeah.
You still have high inflation. Consumers are trying to figure out what they want to purchase, and all of those stacked on top of everything else with just daily economic environments.
All right. So the rebound is how significant then for quarter two? What changes? And why?
Yeah, so it's a pretty sharp rebound. So we go from 3.1 and then, a little bit north of 5% on an annualized basis. Mm-hmm. That was interesting to me of how quick that kind of rebound was and how sudden. In the article, I'll talk about ECAP, so Emergency Commodity Assistance Program. Really what that was is 2024 was a rough crop year because of inputs and just pricing for the ag sector. And because of that, a spending package was basically put through for about $10 billion.
Okay.
South Dakota received about 418 as of the time of the writing of this article.
Million, 418 million.
Yep, 418
okay.
million. Yep.
Yeah.
Good catch there. Always got to be careful on the million, billions, and trillions.
Yeah.
So yes, 418 million, which is still a substantial amount.
Right.
So that really starts to hit kind of late Q1, Q2, right, where farms have that income, and it'll kind of boost the spending throughout the economy.
Yeah. How big is the ag industry? When we think about in South Dakota's economy, we put a lot of attention on ag and the farm sector.
Mm-hmm.
Should we? Is that still driving most of the GDP? Or are there other factors? Like, how balanced are we?
Yeah, so ag's share of GDP is 8%, if we're going to take the last Bureau of Economic Analysis numbers. So just take every single industry, figure out what the GDP is from ag, and then just find that weighting, you get 8% for Q2 of this year. So it's not not the largest. Finance and insurance is actually the largest by industry size, which might surprise some people. For those in, banking and finance and insurance that understand the friendly regulations we have in the state of South Dakota, maybe not so much. We do feel the swings a lot more, I would say, in the ag economy.
Okay.
Because there is global factors that can just really impact that quite a bit more.
Right. But finance and insurance being the largest GDP contributor could also really have big swings based on the regulatory environment.
Exactly
well.
Right. Correct.
Okay.
Yep. So when we had Q2, the second, it'd be figure three in the article if anyone's is reading along. But really what I did is I looked at the difference between Q1 and Q2 to see basically we call it the percent contributions to the change in GDP.
Mm.
So you could think of how much did the ag sector actually contribute to that, north of 5% GDP growth, 5.2 to be exact.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes up a large share, almost 2.5%. was just from the ag sector. The second at around 2% would be finance and insurance. So those two basically got most of the rebound. So they're also pretty, can be volatile as well.
And people can follow along at dakotainstitute.org to see the charts and graphs. So that federal program cushioned the blow and we saw everything kind of correct itself or trend upward, I guess, to be specific, in the second quarter. The ECAP, help us understand a little bit about, is that a permanent thing? Is that a temporary thing? The timing of it? What's significant, from a macroeconomic standpoint here?
Yeah, so it would be temporary. There's not too much funds left in that program. There's still some. So we could continue to see some, you know, residual maybe into Q3 data, probably not too much into Q4. Sure. But really the question is kind of for Q3, Q4, can that trend continue? You know, will that strong rebound actually continue to stay positive, or will we almost kind of get back to a negative area? So kind of is it hiding the effect of more problems underlying the economy?
Yeah.
Is the question that, you know, I don't know the answer to. I'm excited to see when the Q3 and Q4 GDP prints come out to see if it was one time or if it, you know, created some lasting impact.
How about consumer spending? Did we continue on? Like, we see this volatility, but how did we internalize it in consumer spending? How did it show up in those numbers is what I'm wondering.
Yeah, so consumer spending has stayed healthy, actually.
Okay.
So we get PCE, so personal consumption expenditure is the data point there. On the state level, unfortunately, it's only annual. So we only go to 2024. So we'll have to wait probably until, you know, a little bit into 2026 before we get to see how 2025 numbers ended up. Mm. But we kept, you know, pretty much the entire Midwest region stayed pretty strong with their basically growth in consumption. So that was good to see. That makes up a big part of the GDP. So to make sure that stays positive is really good to see.
So overall implications, the volatility is stressful.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Volatility is bad, except the contraction was corrected in some way. So overall, what are the implications for our economy of this sort of up and down roller coaster ride that we've been on?
Yeah, I would continue to say South Dakota has diversified well. I mean, we are not just ag or just finance and insurance. We have a lot of other industries in the state that really help to kind of support when there is that volatility. You know, my main job is investment, so I always think of a diversified portfolio.
Right.
And you can think that South Dakota is a pretty diversified state. Probably more so now than we were in the past, in all honesty. We continued to kind of trend that way, which is good to see overall.
As we are coming out of the longest government shutdown in history, are you going to get the data points that you need, or did some of the data collection pause? Any impact to that for your work in the future?
Yeah, there will most likely be impact. The GDP should be okay. I haven't heard anything to that regard, mostly because that'll come out on a quarterly basis.
Okay.
So, you know, the shutdown was 42, 43 days. So anything that was monthly, so you think October CPI, October jobs numbers, unemployment rates, we'll see if we'll ever get that data back or if they'll just have to extrapolate that. But I think from the GDP side, I'm hoping they'll be able to collect that. It might be delayed on when we actually get that. If the BLS or BEA can turn around that in time.
Yeah. So some surprises, some structural plans as we have diversified our economy over the years. Anything else that stuck out to you as an economist that you think either surprised you or that you're looking forward to in the future we should point out?
Mm-hmm. I think just from the state of South Dakota, and again, you know, macro has always fascinated me, macroeconomics and the U.S. as a whole and monetary policy. Has always been fascinating. I think it's important for people in South Dakota, whether they're policymakers or business leaders, that, you know, these big economic factors that you might see on CNBC or whatever news broadcast that you see, they do flow down to the state. And you might not see that because I don't know how often people read the South Dakota GDP print and dive into the numbers like I do.
Yeah.
But we do see those trends take place. So it's really just making sure to be informed, and we'll continue to see what goes on for the remainder of 2025 and 2026 and see if this ECAP program was, you know, kind of just a one-time stimulus or if maybe those effects will help and kind of got us through the worst of things.
Yeah. So diversified, but not immune to the shocks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Devin Schaefer is a research fellow at the Dakota Institute. You can find the Dakota Outlook online at dakotainstitute.org, or I put a link up as well on this story on our website at sdpb.org. That's our conversation for today. We hope that it served you from all of us here at SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.